That's another one of those gospel stories that you could probably tell your kids without the book. It's so familiar to all of us. This morning, I would just like to dwell on the three characters that we're talking about there. First, the young son, probably a brash young man, thought he knew everything, had everything figured out, knew how he could handle things, wanted to make his own decisions, decided he wanted to be free of his father's taking care of him, his fatherhood, watching over him, protecting him, guiding him. He didn't need that anymore. He had that all figured out too. His education, probably as much as he wanted at the time, was fulfilled. And so he just became very demanding. Now, some of us can probably see ourselves there at one time in our life. And or maybe you can sometimes see your kids there. But it happens. It happens. And like this young man, he was bold enough to say to his father, "I want my share of the inheritance." Well, you know, if you really think about it, he has no right to that at all. Nobody has a right to an inheritance. It is a total gift. Just like God gives life to us, it is a total gift. Because he gives that to us, it is something that we, you know, we have no right to. But God chooses to give us that. God chooses to give us forgiveness. He doesn't have to do that. We don't earn forgiveness. But God chooses to give that to us. And so with this young man, he thought he had a right to his father's inheritance. And somehow or another, his father agreed that he would give him his share. So the young man, we know the story, he takes off. Bad decisions, bad choices, bad companions, bad habits, and pretty soon he's flat broke. There's nothing to refill those coffers that he just demanded, that he knew all about, that he knew how to handle stuff. He didn't need his father anymore. And so we know the situation. He ends up feeding pigs for some farmer who was fortunate to even get that job. Until one day he sits down and figures things out, and figures out probably how stupid he was about a lot of things and how little he really did know about life and the realities of life, and that maybe somehow his father would at least allow him to work on his farm. And so he decided to go back. Then there is the brother. We'll say it's the older brother. And when he comes in from working and he hears all this noise and music and dancing and partying, he sends one of his servants to say, find out what's going on. He finds out his brother came back. Well, you can just imagine how this kid feels, or this young man. Number one, he's probably very angry. He's probably very resentful. The fact that his brother had the nerve to do what he did in the first place. And maybe they didn't get along, as siblings frequently quarrel about things. Maybe he and his brother were quarreling quite a bit before that. Maybe that helped precipitate the young man's decision to leave. But anyway, he was not at all happy about that his brother's back. He was probably glad he was gone. And he probably hoped that he didn't ever see him again, didn't ever have to be bothered with him again. So that's the second son. Unforgiving, resentful, hateful, angry, just not happy about anything. He's not happy with his working with his dad. Obviously, he did his duty because that was what he was expected of him. But he never did it out of love or care or concern for what he was accomplishing. He just did it because he felt it was his duty. So maybe he had a similar problem that his brother did, resented the authority that his father had over them. So then comes the third character, the father. And he's completely the opposite in every way. And look what he does. He sees his son. He probably went out and looked for him every day. Maybe walked on his property somewhere just to glance around from a good vantage point to see whatever happened to his son. If his son decided to stay close or if he decided to go far away, he didn't know. And so he would just, every day he would go out and he'd look for his son. And one day he spotted him in the distance. And he didn't just go back to his home and sit there and wait for the young man to get there. The scripture says he ran to meet him. He ran to meet him. He embraced him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He welcomed him home. It's like all of the mess that young man got into, it's like he just said, it doesn't count. It's gone. It's past. I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you're here. I love you. I want you home. Now, how many fathers could do that? That would be very, very difficult. I mean, probably in the first place, the deep pain that separation caused. And yet he was willing to look past all of that. He's willing to look past the fact that the kid blew his fortune. He was willing to, none of that was important to him. The only thing that was important to him was that kid. He loved his son. He couldn't understand why his older son would not come to celebrate. He couldn't understand that at all. And so he goes outside and he tries to talk to his older son. Tries to convince him, look, this is important. He's alive. He's back. We have our family back together. You know, we can celebrate and enjoy each other, celebrate. Well, maybe the older son was kind of resentful, not only the fact that he came back at all, but that maybe he thought he was going to lose some more of his inheritance, or what he thought was his inheritance. Maybe that was what was bothering. We don't know. Scriptures don't say that. All they do is paint the picture. Of course, we recognize the Father as our Heavenly Father. He's the one that forgives. You know, he knows human beings mess up. And we can all say we've done that. Maybe we didn't mess up as bad as that young man did, but we've all had our go at it anyway. We can look back in different stages of our lives and see how really dumb we were when we really thought we had it all figured out. How brilliant we, you know, and how clever we were and all of these wonderful things. How prudent we were in choosing friends and find out that they all turned out to be very poor friends. They were not friends at all, simply users. But to have the kind of love that God has for us that can say, I forgive you all that nonsense. I want you to be rid of it. I don't want you to have a burden. So it's like when we tell our Lord, as this young man came back to his father, he said, Dad, I'm sorry. I really messed up. Just let me work on the farm as a hired hand. His father said, he treated him just like his son always. Big party, joyful times. That's what he wanted. And that's what our God wants for us. So when we pack up all of our wrongdoings, and sometimes we have some big stuff and sometimes we don't have big stuff, but maybe it's just persistent stuff that is very, very annoying to a lot of other people. It can be all kinds of stuff. Bad habits that we've picked up and that maybe we sometimes not sure we want to let go of, and yet we know we have to. For the good of our own lives and the lives of those around us. And so what our Lord says is come back. Just come back and say you're sorry. And I can take care of all of that. See, that's what he wanted to teach the elder son too. But the son didn't seem like he was ready. And scripture doesn't say how he ended up. But you know, think about this. In the second reading, Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, He talks about that we are supposed to be, we are called to be ministers of reconciliation in our world, which means that we are supposed to come into the world like the image of that Father to bring peace and healing and forgiveness to our world. How many times we find ourselves doing just the opposite, you know? Instead of trying to heal situations, we irritate them, we agitate them. We make them worse. We don't help at all. How many times in our workplace, when we could do something about various situations that happen at work, we join right in and help the problem to get worse instead of being what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. We're supposed to bring healing. We're supposed to bring peace. We're supposed to bring some kind of a detente where people can learn to work together, be together, be peaceful together, and in that way accomplish even greater things. So the story is very, very important. I know we all know it. We think about it. We probably talk about it a lot. You hear it every time when there's a reconciliation service of any kind, how often that comes, that same story comes up. But put yourself in the story sometime. Who are you? Are you the young man who really messed up and acknowledged it and begged for mercy? Or the older son who is unforgiving, hates everybody, hates everything, not happy about anything? Are you like the Father who wants you to be a reconciler, to be peace, bring healing? It's a good story for us to think about. We have a couple weeks of Lent to go. There's a parish penance service. What's the date, John? Next Tuesday? Week from Tuesday? Where'd he go? When? Week from Tuesday.
Don't forget your retreat
this Saturday. Yeah, that too. Okay. Okay, but anyway, it's a story for us to think about. And put yourself in the story and say, who am I? Am I anywhere close to that Father? Because that's what he calls us to be.